Good morning and welcome to our service of worship here in Hebron. We're going to commence by returning to hymn number 381. When upon life's billows you were tempest tossed, when you were discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Standing as we sing this great old gospel hymn, please. Delighted to have with us this afternoon one of our ruling elders, our brother John McCauley, and we're going to ask John if he'll now come and read Psalm 125 to us and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
As fellows already said, our psalm per day is Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, unto them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. You know the God will add his blessing to reading of his word this morning again. We just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you again for the return of thy day. We just thank you for this one day and seven set aside for to worship and to praise thy name. And Lord, just pray, Lord, you'll help us, Lord, to even worship thee aright this morning. Lord, would we be conscious even that we're coming before a thrice holy God who sees all things and looks into all every heart. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to worship thee just today in spirit and in truth. Lord, we just thank you for the psalm that we've read here. Lord, we just thank you for the encouragement of this psalm. Those that trust in the Lord, they will not be removed. They will not be moved. Lord, we have one who shelters us and protects us just as the mountains are around Jerusalem. We just thank you you're around your people, not only now, but forever. And Lord, we just thank you for these great promises in thy word. Help us, Lord, to rest upon them, even day by day. And Lord, we come before thee this morning, and we know that in this congregation today, there is those who are needy. Lord, there are those who are ill. There are those who are recovering from hospital. There is those that are requiring treatment. And Lord, we just... they need a touch physically. There are those who need a touch mentally. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll perfect that concern for everyone. And Lord, we have a long list of those who are not well. And Lord, we just pray that you'll perfect that for concerneth every last one of them. Lord, we thank you that we can just bring all our burdens to the Lord and we can leave them there. And we just thank you that we know that God cares for us. And Lord, we pray for any, even on that list, to your own saved. We just pray, Lord, that you'll even be pleased, Lord, even in the midst of their illness, Lord, to draw them even unto thyself. May they look unto thee, and Lord, may they be saved. And Lord, we just remember those two that are mourning today. We think of Rachel, and we think of Shirley and her family. Lord, at this time, we just pray that you'll be with them, comfort them. We just thank you that Mrs. Kennedy loved thee and she served thee while she was here on this earth, and today she's with the Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'll just comfort the family in the days which are ahead. And Lord, we pray too, Lord, for our own pastor over in Romania, and Lord, the group that are there. I just pray, Lord, you'll bless them even as they worship today. We just pray, Lord, that they will know thy presence, and Lord, that you'll meet with them, and Lord, the work that has already been done over this the past days, Lord, I just pray, Lord, it will bear fruit. And Lord, that even here, some of those boys and girls, Lord, that have been spoken to, even come to trust thee as their own personal Saviour. Lord, we remember too Ukraine and the whole situation over there. We pray that you will be pleased very shortly to bring this war to an end. We pray for our friends that are here with us. We pray, Lord, that you'll help them day by day, encourage them in the Lord. We just thank you have been with them, and Lord, we know they have many thoughts, Lord, of their loved ones and their friends over in their homeland. We just pray, Lord, that you'll give them that peace, Lord, that passes all understanding. Lord, may they know day by day, Lord, that you're with them. You'll never leave them forsaken. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll very quickly, Lord, bring things, Lord, to an end and bring that war to an end. Lord, we just pray for thy servant has come today, Reverend Gray. We thank you for him. We thank you for his ministry here in past days. And we just pray as he comes today, Lord, that he'll come in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that he'll come in the might of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, as he brings the word today, Lord, we just pray that it'll be a word in season. Lord, we know there's many needs in this congregation. And Lord, we thank you that you can meet every need. And we just pray as thy servant brings the word today, Lord, he will be very conscious that you're with them in the pulpit, bringing everything to his remembrance. And we just pray, Lord, for those that are in the pew, we just pray, Lord, there'll be a word for each one as we need a word from thee. Thy people need a word from thee. And just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us. And Lord, we pray, Lord, if there's any that are backslidden, we pray, Lord, that you'll bring them back to thee. And any that are unsaved, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to them. And Lord, today, Lord, they maybe have come here, Lord, and they're in the broad road. They just pray, Lord, even before this day comes to an end, Lord, they'll be on that narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Lord, we leave the whole day before thee, and Lord, we pray that as we always pray, Lord, all will be go down to thy honour and to thy glory. These things we pray in our Saviour's name. Amen.
Thank you, John. Well, can we give you one and all a warm and friendly word of welcome to our service of worship today? A special word of welcome if you're joining with us for the first time. I understand that Yule and Arlene have friends over from England. That's John and Bethan, and so we greet you in the Saviour's precious name and trust that you will enjoy fellowship with us today. We also welcome our extended audience on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and on YouTube. Special word of welcome to our visiting preacher today, who's no stranger to us, the Reverend John Gray. We welcome him and his wife and daughter to the service today, and we trust that the Lord might bless him as in a few moments he'll open up to us the word of God. Please remember the gospel service this evening. It takes place at 7 p.m. It's preceded by a time of prayer at 6:30, and we would encourage as many as possible to join with us. Please remember the Hebron outreach team in Romania. They have been very, very busy out there, and they return home in the will of God on Tuesday of this week. Pray that the Lord might be pleased to bless them and to use their ministry. Please remember also the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. It's at 8 p.m. this Thursday. The preacher is Jonathan Story. This is a big year for Jonathan. Jonathan is not only finishing Bible college this year, but at the end of the month, he'll be married as well. So please pray for our brother as he comes along and labours in the word on Thursday. There will be a special time of prayer also for the Christian school. Next Lord's Day, we commence with the early morning time of prayer at 8 a.m. The worship service will be at 12 noon, and in the will of the Lord, the Reverend Park will be along with us. There will be the Lord's table that will follow the worship service next Lord's Day. And then the gospel service at 7 p.m., preceded by that time of prayer. And again, we trust that the Reverend Park will be back with us. Can we thank you one and all for your tithes and gifts and offerings to the Lord's work here in Hebron. Today is the Let the Bible Speak envelopes and the Missionary Covenant support. And next week will be the Building Fund envelopes. Please also remember the Youth Challenge, which is planned for Monday the 15th through to Friday the 19th of August. It's going to take the form of a football camp in the afternoon from 2:30 through till 5, and then focusing in on the gospel from 7 through till 8. We propose to hold a Parents' Night service on the Lord's Day, the 21st of August. There are some leaflets that are available, and so please avail yourself of these leaflets, and if you can get them into the hands of young people and children, then we would be delighted. The evangelists for Youth Challenge this year is our sister Christina Logan. She'll be speaking to the juniors from ages 4 to 11. And our brother Noel Shields, who'll be looking after the seniors aged 12 plus. We want to congratulate our sister Rebecca Ray. Rebecca graduated in her pharmacy degree this past week. And so we congratulate her, and our brother Mervyn was saying before the service, if anybody needs a few pills, then please see our resident pharmacist, Rebecca. We congratulate her in the Lord's great name. Please remember the sick of the fellowship. The names are before you there. Remember them before the throne, we pray, that the Lord might be pleased to step in to their circumstances. We did mention at the early time of prayer an individual that many of the folks may know here, Mr. Desmond Glenn. Desmond's taken poorly. He was taken into the Causeway Hospital. He's currently in the intensive care unit, and the family, his son Stephen, has requested prayer for him. So please remember Desmond Glenn in the Causeway. And again, continue to pray for the outreach team as they finish off the work there in Romania over these next few days. The Reverend Park did text us earlier today to inform us that they have just completed and finished a 3-hour service in Timișoara this morning. We're now going to turn to hymn number 301, Standing on the Promises of Christ our King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Delighted to welcome to our pulpit once again here in Hebron the Reverend John Gray. As we have already said, he is no stranger to us here in Hebron. He's a good friend of the Reverend Park and fellowships and ministers in one of our larger congregations in Tandragee, We trust that the Lord will now bless him as he comes and shares with us what the Lord has laid upon his heart.
Folks, it is a great privilege for me to be with you here in Hebron this afternoon, and we thank your minister, the Reverend Park, for the kind invitation to come along and preach the Word of God. It's good to see so many in the service today. All the visitors, see some folk from Enniskillen as well. We better give them a welcome. Wherever you're from, we give you indeed a very warm welcome. And we pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts through his precious word today. Turn in your Bible, please, to Jeremiah chapter 33. I just want to read the first three verses to you of this chapter. Jeremiah chapter 33. Very familiar words, I'm sure, to most of us. I want to preach today on the promise to Jeremiah, God's promise to Jeremiah. We read in verse 1 of Jeremiah 33, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." It's verse 3 that I want to leave particularly with you today. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. The Lord will bless the reading, the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy presence with us today already. We thank thee, Lord, for these lovely hymns that we have been singing, for the encouragement that they have been to our own heart. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy blessings to us. O God, as we come to consider thy word just now, we do pray, Lord, that you would continue to encourage your saints in this house. We thank thee, Lord, for the people of God that worship here in Hebron. And we do pray, Lord, that they might know the blessing of God upon their lives. Indeed, Lord, that we all might know the blessing of God upon our lives. In these days, as we look around us, Lord, there's much to discourage. But we thank thee and we praise thee for the precious word of God and for the promises contained in thy word. And oh God, we just pray today as we look at this text of scripture that you would speak to all of our hearts. We think especially perhaps of those who are with us today and they're downcast. They've come with burdens. Oh God, we pray that you lift those burdens and that they might know the still small voice of God speaking to them. Therefore, to this end, we pray that you'll fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. Hide man far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. And Lord, we'll be very careful to give to thee the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honor. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. There are many wonderful promises of God in the Bible, but Jeremiah 33, verse 3 must be one of the greatest of all these promises. This is a promise given to Jeremiah concerning the restoration of Israel and Judah. Not only did the prophet Jeremiah prophesy that the Jews would go into captivity, but he also foretold their restoration from captivity. The truth is, Jeremiah not only prophesied doom and gloom for the nation, but he also preached a message of hope and a message of encouragement. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 is a great word of encouragement, not only to Jeremiah himself, but also to the nation. And this was the promise that God gave to Jeremiah for the nation. And it's very important that you consider the text of Scripture in that context. Child of God, what a wonderful word of encouragement this is to you and me today, especially when we think of the day in which you and I are living. We're living in hard times. We're living in dark days spiritually, not unlike the days of Jeremiah. Dr. Paisley used to talk about the spiritual tide going out and the spiritual tide coming in. Well, the spiritual tide is very much out in Ulster today. But thank God there is hope. And when we turn to the precious Word of God, and especially this passage of Scripture that we have read, and this text of Scripture that we are considering this afternoon, what hope and encouragement it gives to us, even in this 21st century. C.H. Spurgeon said concerning this text that it was the golden key of prayer, because it promises so much to those that call upon the Lord in a day of adversity. Here in this text, we can see the importance of prayer, we can see the value of prayer, and we can see the blessing of prayer. The truth is, there is no knowing what we can receive from God in answer to our prayer. What a wonderful promise we have here. Therefore, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Just for a few moments, I want us to consider the text, and I do pray that it'll be a blessing and an encouragement, especially to God's people. Those of you who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God, I pray that the Lord Himself will take this text of Scripture and burn it afresh upon your soul. I know it's a familiar text. No doubt you've heard it preached on before. No doubt you've read it many, many times. But I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, today will come and apply this text of Scripture afresh to our hearts. And as we leave God's house, that we'll be able to say it was good to be here, for it was here where we met afresh with the Lord. First of all, I want you to notice, and this is very important when you come to consider this text of Scripture, I want you to notice the circumstances in which this promise was given. The words of our text in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, were spoken to Jeremiah the prophet when he was shut up in the prison. I wonder, did you notice that? Take a look at verse 1 of the chapter. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the prison. Jeremiah had been cast into the prison for preaching the truth of God. Jeremiah had been cast into the prison because of his faithfulness to the Lord. Now, this was not the first time, nor would it be the last time that Jeremiah would be shut up in a prison for the truth of the gospel. Keep your hand in Jeremiah chapter 33 there and turn over to chapter 37 and take a look with me at verse 15 and you'll read these words. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. And then turn over another page to chapter 38 and look at verse 6. And you'll read these words at the beginning of the text and then at the end. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Child of God, it's so important that you see Jeremiah's circumstances here. All hope seemed to be gone. The nation had rejected the message of God that Jeremiah had preached unto them. The prophet found himself in awful circumstances, indeed in a prison cell. And then, in the midst of these trying circumstances, the Lord gives Jeremiah this wonderful promise as he is shut up in the prison house. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What an encouragement this must have been for Jeremiah as he found himself in these awful circumstances. A promise that gave the prophet hope for days ahead. And Jeremiah believed this promise, although his situation, humanly speaking, seemed irreversible. I'm sure that you noticed that God spoke to Jeremiah personally and that he spoke to Jeremiah the second time. Take a look at verse 1 again of Jeremiah 33 and underline the words, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah personally the second time." Therefore, this was not the first time Jeremiah had received this word from God. Indeed, it was the second time. Here the Lord reaffirms his promise to the prophet and to the nation. And although the promise had not been fulfilled at this point, it was surely going to be fulfilled. So important that you see the circumstances here in which this promise was given. Jeremiah was not on the mountaintop, he was in the valley. Things were not going well for Jeremiah, humanly speaking. He was in the dungeon. The nation had turned against God. And yet in the midst of these circumstances, the Lord comes with this wonderful promise to the prophet. "Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Child of God, what do we learn here? We learn this, that God's promises are for us, no matter what our circumstances may be. And God's promises for us are sure, no matter what our circumstances may be. Our circumstances do not devalue the promises of God. You know, it is easy to believe God when you're on the mountaintop. It is easy to believe God when everything's going well. But the truth is, the promises of God are for us no matter what our circumstances. Therefore, we must trust in the promises of God at all times, even when we're in the deepest valley. When we're sick, when we're cast down, or even when we are in a deep valley. And maybe there's a dear child of God here today, and you are in a deep, dark valley, and you don't know where to turn. Well, turn to the Lord and claim the promise here. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Remember that God hears and answers the cries of his people. God's promises to his people do not diminish just because of our trying circumstances. The psalmist David could say in Psalm 62 and verse 8, Bible, it says this, "Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us." Trust in the Lord, not just when everything's going well. Pray to the Lord, not just when everything's going well. But trust in the Lord and call upon the Lord at all times. Because no matter whether we're on the mountain or in the valley, no matter what our circumstances are, thank God, the Lord is our refuge. And he has promised never to leave us nor forsake. In heart you feel that everyone has forsaken you. Maybe you've even begun to think that God has forsaken you. Well, get that out of your head, because God never forsakes his people, as we're going to see just in a moment. But notice the circumstances here. Did you ever notice in the Bible how the Lord always came with a promise to his saints in the darkest hour when all hope seemed to be gone? And let me give you one example. There are many that I could give you, of course, but keep your hand in Jeremiah 33 there. Turn over to Acts chapter 18 for a moment. It's a tremendous portion of scripture. Paul here is in the city of Corinth. He's on a second missionary journey. The unbelieving Jews are persecuting Paul. The apostle is at a very low ebb. And I believe Paul is about to give up. He's about to turn back, or at the very least, he's about to move on. So discouraged was Paul. And then he gets this promise from God. And when Paul was at his lowest ebb, the Lord comes and gives his servant this wonderful promise. Take a look at what the Lord says to Paul in Acts 18 verses 9 and 10 and 11. Notice again the circumstances in which God's servant is found here. The people have turned against him. No one's listening to him. Paul is discouraged in the work of God, greatly discouraged. And then the Lord says this to him in verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. What a glorious, wonderful promise that God gave to his servant right when he needed it, when he was at his very lowest. And then verse 11 is so encouraging, because God always keeps his word. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You know, child of God, this country of ours is in an awful state spiritually. We look around us and we wonder, how could this land ever be changed for good again? Spiritually, the situation seems impossible. It seems irreversible. No doubt Jeremiah could have thought the very same in his day, but he did not. Even in the midst of the prison house, he believed the promise of God. Oh, in these days, let us again believe the promises of God, and let us claim the promises of God, because the Lord is faithful and the Lord always keeps his word. Oh, the circumstances in which the promise was given. Doesn't matter how deep a valley we're in, doesn't matter how severe the situation may be, the Lord's able. Call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, there's something else I want you to look and consider in the text. Turn back again to Jeremiah 33. I want you to notice, secondly, the requirement for the fulfillment of the promise. Three words. Call unto me. The requirement for the fulfillment of this promise was very simple. All Jeremiah had to do was to call upon the Lord. Now, this requirement was a command. Here the Lord is commanding Jeremiah, call upon me. In other words, if Jeremiah wanted the promise fulfilled, he would have to call upon the Lord. This requirement, therefore, it required faith. Now, I said a few moments ago that Jeremiah believed the promise of God when God spoke to him and gave him this promise. He believed it. Jeremiah had faith in the word of God. This requirement that Jeremiah put into operation was put into operation because Jeremiah believed the promise of God. Therefore, the requirement was twofold. Jeremiah had to call by faith, and Jeremiah had to call upon the Lord. Now, calling, of course, is a simple exercise. The smallest child can call or cry for help. And yet today, in the Church of Jesus Christ, it seems that we want to do everything but call upon the Lord. Oh, child of God, if we want to see the fulfillment of this promise, the promises of God, then we must call upon the Lord. And we must believe that God will answer his word. But did you notice to whom Jeremiah was to call? He was to call upon the Lord. You'll notice here in the text that the word Lord here is in capital letters. And you'll know that when the word Lord is in capital letters, you don't need me to tell you this, you know it already, that it means Jehovah. And you will know that the name Jehovah means the covenant-keeping God. Verse 2 gives us a wonderful description of this covenant-keeping God. Take a look at verse 2 of chapter 33. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith Jehovah, the maker thereof, the Lord Jehovah that formed it to establish it. The Lord Jehovah is his name. Three times over we read about this covenant-keeping God in verse 2. Three times over we are exhorted to call upon this covenant-keeping God. Now this phrase at the end of verse 2, the Lord is his name, is only recorded 4 times in the Bible. I'm not going to turn you to the references. If you want to write them down, they're found in Exodus 15, verse 3, Amos 5, verse 8, Amos 9, verse 6, and here in Jeremiah 33 and the verse 2. These are the only places in the Bible you will read this phrase, the Lord is his name. Jehovah is his name. Therefore, when Jeremiah was commanded to call upon the Lord, he was commanded to call upon the God of heaven, the God of all creation, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the God that would keep his word. Therefore, because the Lord keeps his word, this should give us confidence to call upon him. Child of God, when we come to pray, and especially when we come to plead the promises of God, thank God we're coming before who? The covenant-keeping God. The one who keeps his word. The one who never fails. And the Lord commands us to call unto him, to cry unto him, to take the time to wait upon him in prayer. If we want to see and know the blessing of God upon our lives, upon our nation, upon our families, upon our unsaved friends, then we need to call upon the Lord. And if we do so, this covenant-keeping God will keep his word and send us the blessing. You see, the Lord answers prayer when we call and cry unto him. Because why? Because he's the covenant-keeping God, the Lord that keeps his word. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a glorious thought today, that God's ear is ever open to the cries of his people? Oh, dear child of God, I pray as we leave God's house this afternoon that we might leave with this wonderful truth penetrating afresh into our hearts, because I know it's a truth that you all know so well, but it's always good to be reminded. Thank God we are his covenant people. We have been bought with precious blood. We are his for all eternity. He has given unto us everlasting life. And thank God, he is our covenant God. And it's tremendous to know that when we cry unto him, that he will hear and answer our prayers. Turn over, let me give you an example of this. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 20 for a moment. Again, it's a familiar passage of Scripture, but it's a tremendous passage of God's precious word. 2 Kings chapter 20, and Hezekiah here is sick unto death. And the Lord initially tells him, you're going to die, Hezekiah. It's an order. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So there was a message from God given to the prophet to give to Hezekiah. What a solemn message it was. Hezekiah, set your house in order, for you're going to die. Then we read something wonderful here, something quite unusual. Look with me there at verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Notice who he's praying unto. He's praying unto Jehovah. Notice that the word Lord is in capital letters. So he's praying to this covenant-keeping God. And he said this, verse 3, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David my father, I have heard thy prayer. Isn't that a tremendous statement? That statement is a wonderful study just in itself. To take that statement and study it throughout the Bible for all the times that phrase is used when the Lord spoke to different individuals in the Bible. I have heard thy prayer. Oh, child of God, the Lord hears our prayer. He doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want them answered. Sometimes he will answer them immediately. Sometimes he will say, wait. Other times he may say no. But he always answers the prayers of his people. And here we have an example of this here in the Bible. Hezekiah just about to die, and yet he turns to the Lord. He turns to this covenant-keeping God, and he prays with all his heart because he's weeping before the Lord. And as he weeps before the Lord hears his prayer. And look what it says. I have seen thy tears. Not only did he hear his prayer, but he saw his tears. Oh, child of God, we often pray, but how many tears are there at times? Very few, if we are honest with ourselves. But the Lord not only hears the prayer, he sees the tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's. Oh, child of God, there's no knowing. Listen to me, there's no knowing how many years the Lord has added unto our lives because of our prayers. Only eternity will reveal what God has done for us in answer to prayer. But there's a requirement here. Turn back again to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah, call upon me. Call by faith, but call upon me, the covenant-keeping God. And I will hear, and I will answer. Indeed, that's the third thing I want you to notice here. I want you to notice the great blessing contained in this promise. Now, this is a tremendous text of Scripture. And the words that we're going to read now, when we come to consider how God answers this prayer, is outstanding. Look what it says. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God here promises that he will answer the one who calls upon him. And the Lord promises that he will show them great and mighty things which they know not. I will answer thee, God says. God's promise to Jeremiah was that he would restore Judah and Israel and bring them back from captivity to the land of their birth, and would forgive them for all of their sins. Take a look at the extension of the promise there in verse 6 down to verse 8 of chapter 33. We haven't read these words, but let's read them now. Behold, I will bring in health and cure. Notice the I wills here. There's 7 of them. Behold, I will bring in health and cure, and I will cure them. And I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return. And I will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And you know, the Lord kept his promise. And Israel and Judah were restored again to their own land. The Lord always, you see, keeps his word. God says to us today, as we look into the days ahead, dear child of God, and even this day, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Child of God, there's no knowing what the Lord will do for us, his people, if we would but call upon him with all our hearts, and with all our souls, and with all our minds. Jeremiah, you see, was in a desperate situation. Are we not in a desperate situation today in this land? Are we not in a desperate situation when we look all around us and see sin abounding in every hand? Of course we are. We are in a desperate situation. And maybe you, as an individual Christian, maybe you're in a desperate situation today. I don't know your circumstances. Maybe no one else knows your circumstances, but your back's against the wall. You don't know which way to turn. Well, look up. Call upon the Lord. And he will answer and show you great and mighty things which you know not of. Notice the phrase in verse 3. I'm sure that you've noticed it many times, but I wonder, do you know what it means? Notice the phrase, mighty things, mighty things. This phrase means literally hidden things or secret things, unknown things. What's it teaching us? I believe it's teaching us this. In other words, there is no limitations to God's blessings. Child of God, you and I limit God. Do you know why we don't get great things from God? Because we only ask little things from God. But God has promised us what? He has promised us mighty things. Someone once said, more things are received by prayer than this world will ever know. And how true that statement is. Prayer is the key to God's blessing. Oh, I pray today that the Lord would come and that the Lord would burn this text of Scripture into all of our hearts, into the preacher's heart, into your heart. I know it's a familiar text. I know that you've read it so many times. Perhaps even as you have prayed, you've quoted it. But oh, dear child of God, may it come with freshness and with a burden to our souls. The text is teaching that there's nothing impossible with God. With men, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Turn over to Acts chapter 1 just for a moment, and we're nearly finished. Here, the disciples are at Jerusalem praying. It's a familiar scene to us all. And they're calling upon the Lord. Look what it says in verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Why are they in Jerusalem praying? Why are they calling upon God? Because Jesus told them to pray, and he promised them that if they waited in prayer, they would see mighty things in answer to their prayers. Look at chapter 1 of Acts in verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. There we have the promise of the Lord Jesus to the church just before he ascended back up into heaven. And look at chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, here's the fulfillment of the promise. Here is the Lord answering the prayers of his people as they waited in the upper room. Here's the fulfillment of this covenant-keeping God coming to pass. Here's the mighty things being seen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The mighty things that God can do through prayer. You know, the Lord has done so much for us in the Free Presbyterian Church down through the years. He has kept his hand upon us. Even in these hard years, in these difficult years, many of us can remember great days in the past, days of revival, days of a moving of God's Holy Spirit. Those days can come again. But we all need to recognize why we had the great days in the past. It was because we believed in prayer and because we claimed the promises of God around the throne of grace. And if we do this again, God will answer our prayers in a mighty way. For he is the mighty God who answers the prayers of his redeemed people. There are those in this meeting tonight, and or this afternoon, and we can remember prayer meetings in the early days, 30 years ago and more. The power of God came down and souls were being saved every week. The prayer meetings were packed. Why? Because God's people believed in a covenant-keeping God who would answer prayer when his people would cry unto him. And God can do it again. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I believe that the equivalent of Jeremiah 33 verse 3 in the New Testament is the promise of Christ to his disciples in Matthew 7 verse 7 and 8. You know that text so well. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Our God is still on the throne, and our God is still answering prayer. Is he answering your prayers today? Is he answering your prayers? Oh, child of God, let us look up and let us remember. Let us remember the one who has saved us and the one who has redeemed us. And let us remember that he is the covenant-keeping God. And when we call upon him by faith, recognizing who he is and recognizing what he has done in the past, realizing that he can do it again, may we continue to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. In Nehemiah 9 verse 32 it says this: Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy. Oh, I pray in these days, as you continue the work in Hebron, and I know that the Lord has blessed you in so many ways in the past. The Lord has blessed us all in so many ways in the past. But child of God, we cannot live in the past. We remember the past. We thank God for the past. And we must remember what God has done in the day gone by. But let us look to the future. For the end is not yet, and the best, I believe, has still to be. May God bless his word, and may the Lord bless these few thoughts from this text to all of our hearts. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we just commit thy word to thee. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth, and we thank thee for the God of heaven, the one who has redeemed us, and the one who has saved us. We thank thee, Lord, for this covenant-keeping God. And we pray, Lord, today that you would help us to realize that we are your people, called by your name, redeemed by your precious blood. And Lord, when we call unto thee by faith, and when we call unto thee with all of our hearts, you hear. And you answer prayer more than we could ever think or imagine. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you.
Can we thank the Reverend Gray for that word of challenge to our own hearts and soul, labouring upon the importance of prayer, the value of prayer, the great blessing of prayer. We need to come unto him. We need to call unto him. And he is the covenant-keeping God. It was the Reverend Duncan Campbell who, once speaking to his Bible students in the Faith Mission, said this: that no amount of service in the king's business will ever make up for the neglect of the king himself. We need to call upon him. We're going to turn for our closing prayer to Hymn number 625. 625, What a Friend, we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Remind the members of session and committee that there is a very short meeting immediately after this service. Let us all bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the challenge to our hearts and souls this day, to call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Help us to prove our God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt take us from this place refreshed in body, soul, and in spirit. Take us to our homes in safety and bring us back for the glorious good news of the gospel at 7 p.m. today. For we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. Amen.